All right, everybody, welcome to another week of the Doe and 5-0 show. Welcome to beautiful Doe and 5-0 studios.
We have a new office.
We're taking off to the big time. Off to the big time.
You all both of our followers, and thank you for all
thank
of your support.
Thank you for providing all of this. Things have cooled off just a little bit this week, Joe. Hell seemed to rise through the cracks of Indiana last week.
It did.
And stayed for a week. I mean, it did. I don't even think it dropped below 90 in, you know, the midnight hours. So
I'd get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, come in, and it was hot as hell.
Yeah.
And, I used to say that week every year that hell would kind of seep up through the sidewalks and come to Peru, but not only did that happen this year, but God forsake us. He left us and he led us to perish.
It was warm. I mean, that's always seems like the hottest week of the year anyway.
It always is.
I think this year was a whole new level of misery.
It was brutal. So. And I normally don't go out in the middle of that. I just haven't for years. It's just my schedule and stuff. But I did go out there to support you and support the firemen and I couldn't believe that anyone was walking around. It was just so terrible. I was doing it begrudgingly, trying to be a good guy, but holy crap, I felt awful.
Yeah, it was a rough week, man. It was hot, so.
But at least you got to sit in the dunk booth for a little bit.
Yeah, that was some refreshingly cold water.
Did it feel good, or was it still surprisingly cold when you?
You know, it was weird because when the firemen filled it up, it was a good temperature of water. They filled it up the first couple of days for us, and then we finally got a hose long enough to fill it ourselves. And that was ice cold. And then obviously we had the not obviously for those of you who aren't there, but we offered the bagged ice or the buckets of ice for an extra fee to throw in there, and the person sitting
did a lot
there.
Of people do that.
Yeah, we did pretty well with it. I mean, it wasn't a ton of people,
but I didn't do that. I cheated. I bought balls for lots of people, and I let them go all the way up to the thing. And I sometimes, if they still missed, I slapped it and made them go in anyway. But I didn't do the ice because I thought that was just going too far.
Yeah, it definitely made things chilly. That's for sure.
You think the firemen, when they filled it, it was warmer because they peed in it?
Maybe. You know how those guys are.
That's funny though.
It did have some good pulled pork. Did you try their pulled pork?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Good stuff. So, all right, let's go ahead and dop. Let's go ahead and dip into the news headlines. Let's dop right into the news headlines. Out of Rush City, Minnesota, toddler gets driving privileges revoked after riding his toy tractor to the local county fair.
Bet it wasn't as hot there.
A toddler in Minnesota had his driving privileges revoked after going on a joyride. The county sheriff, Sergeant Jason Foster, told the news station that the two and a half year old wanted to go back to the county fair, so the little boy hopped on his battery powered John Deere tractor and took a joyride. Dispatchers got a call about the missing boy, and a deputy would locate him at the fair a few minutes later. His home is only about a block away from the fair, and the little boy could see the rides from his home. So he decided to take his John Deere down the sidewalk, through a back gate of the fair, through the crowd, and to his favorite ride, the Tilt-A-Whirl. That's where the deputy found him, and when his dad got there, he promptly removed the battery from the toy tractor.
Well, then he had to drag it back, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe his dad.
I'd have taken it out after he got home.
Yeah, maybe he took the truck down there to pick him up. I'm not sure. I mean, that's a pretty smart little kid. Even if you can see the Ferris wheel or whatever from the skyline, to be able to navigate his way there was pretty good, I think. So.
Yeah, he's 2 and a half, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's bad that he did it.
Yeah.
kind of funny because everything turned out all right.
Yeah. Here we go, Joe. Woman claims Spider-Man sculpture depicts the devil's horns and demands the city remove it from the local zoo. Out of Lincoln, Nebraska, the city is fighting over what they... A woman is fighting the city over what she says is a sculpture depicting devil horns at the Lincoln Children's Zoo. I'll put the picture up there for you guys to see. You can see anybody that... Even if you don't like Spider-Man, you know what Spider-Man looks like.
Right.
I mean, he's been around for decades and decades.
I remember him as a little kid.
You can clearly see these are Spider-Man's hands with webs coming
out of
it.
There's webs coming out.
In a written complaint to Lincoln Mayor Buttafuoco Gaylord Baird, the woman demanded that the city move the sculpture. It is a sculpture of two hands open, painted red and black, and formed into devil's horns.
But wouldn't that be funny? They say, okay, we'll move it, and they just... Scooted it over.
6 inches over. This is anti-Christian and demonic and completely inappropriate and offensive to place in front of the children's zoo and gardens where the couples are married. This goes on for a little while. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but come on.
Idiot.
Come on. It's Spider-Man.
It's obviously Spider-Man. Come on. Does she think they're actually the devil's hands and he sneezed? Is that what the webbing was that was coming out of there? I don't know.
Maybe they need to re-alter the hands to where just certain fingers stick up instead of the devil horns ones. And
is that still like devil horns too then?
I don't know. It's hard telling what she would classify that as.
I'm not sure.
Right here in Indiana, Joe, out of Vigo County, a dummy hand grenade cell gone bad resulted in a shooting in Terre Haute. Colt Cooley, age 40, was arrested in connection with the shooting on June 18th. Currently being held in the Vigo County Jail on charges of aggravated battery, pointing a loaded firearm at another person, and criminal recklessness committed by shooting a firearm into an inhabited dwelling or building. According to court documents obtained by WTHI, the shooting victim visited Cooley to sell him a dummy hand grenade for $30. During the sale, Cooley got mad and complained about a previous drug deal gone bad. During the argument, Cooley allegedly shot the other man, and the bullet penetrated his arms.
So there's a dummy grenade, there's firearms, and there's drugs. Who would have thought that anything could have gone wrong?
Well, I mean, he's apparently still been out of shape about that last drug deal that didn't really pan out for him.
Well, it seems like if you're a little upset about that, maybe you shouldn't invite him back. Unless he invited him back to shoot him in the arm. And then who the hell gets shot in the arm?
I mean, he looks like Mini-Me. Have you ever seen the Austin Powers movies?
That's what he reminds me of. That's what I thought, too.
He was pretty mean in those movies. I wouldn't mess with that guy.
Maybe they got it in the arm because he was...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gnawing him like a chihuahua or something. Good news. Nobody was hurt or burned in the tiki torch fight at Easttown Mall, say Madison police.
Thank God.
Two men armed with tiki torches fought in the Easttown Mall food court on Thursday, with one getting arrested and the other one fleeing before the police could arrive. Demont Lacey Parr, age 21, of Milwaukee, who Joe likes to refer to the armpit of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Was arrested on tentative charges of disorderly conduct while armed and criminal damage to property. The fight had to do with getting a ride. Officers went to the food court after multiple witnesses reported two men physically fighting while armed with the tiki torches. Police spokesman Officer Joseph Batafuco said the torches were of electric variety. I didn't know they had electric tiki torches. I thought they always just gas.
Well, if they were electric, how did they pick them up and use them?
I don't know.
Were there cords? No, fight over here. I can't go any further.
I need an extension cord.
Basically, battery operated.
Yeah. So basically, they this goes on for a little bit, too. They go fighting with these tiki torches in the patio area outside the food court in the mall. One of them ended up taking a broom from a cleaning cart, breaking it in half, and swinging the broom handle close to uninvolved bystanders. Nobody was hurt during the altercation. He broke that thing like a... I don't know.
Idiot.
Old more. What is the like
Bruce
the,
Lee?
Bruce Lee martial arts movies where they break sticks.
Chuck Norris. Yeah. Stupid. So you break your weapon in half so it doesn't go nearly as far.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Out of Laredo, Tennessee, police in Tennessee are cautioning against flushing your drugs down the toilet out of concern for the animals in the local waterways.
I'm always flushing my drugs down the toilet. What can I do to make that safer?
Well, they're going to tell you.
Okay.
The warning comes from the Laredo PD Facebook post where officers say they found a suspect trying to flush his methamphetamine and several items of paraphernalia down his toilet. The man was arrested. On a more of a less serious note, please don't flush your drugs down the toilet, according to the police department Facebook post. They say flush drugs end up in retention ponds for processing before going downstream. Now the sewer guys take great pride in releasing water that is cleaner than what is in the creek, but they're not really prepared for methamphetamine. Ducks, geese, and other fowl frequent their treatment ponds, and they shudder to think what one hyped up on methamphetamine would do. Police say meth gators could be created in Tennessee and Alabama if the meth made it far enough downriver. They've had plenty of messed up animals in the past few weeks without the help. The police department does say they will properly dispose of your drugs if you call them. That's nice of them.
Yeah, I have a bunch of drugs here I like to dispose of. Can you come down and take care of it, but don't arrest me?
So, I mean, come on now. Gators aren't mean enough already. Now they got to worry about them being hyped up on.
I guess I'm a little confused because they said it's in the retention ponds before it gets treated, right? Mm-hmm. But then they said all the way down river to, I'm sorry, did you say Alabama?
Yeah, so they've been located in Alabama.
But that would be after it was already cleaned. So their cleansing process does not take out meth?
It says they're not prepared for meth. I meth would is think quite that, toxic. I mean, it's
yeah, but I would think that the pro. I mean, it. I mean, it strains poop and pee and everything else. I okay, but all right, meth is.
Meth's bad, okay?
Meth is bad. It's bad stuff. We should really get a banner for that. Meth is
no
bad.
No meth. Eat some donuts.
Eat donuts.
All right, Joe. Well, that's it for our local news around the country. You ready for our favorite state of all time?
We love Florida.
Time for Florida. Here we go. All right, folks, welcome to another week in This Week in Florida. Joe, we're going to kick things off with a famous burger restaurant. News headline reads, five guys arrested for fighting at a Florida. Five guys.
Irony.
Out of Stuart, Florida, it may not be the perfect crime, but police in Florida found the perfect matchup of suspects and location responding to a fight at the restaurant. Officers in Stuart, Florida were called to a fight at Five Guys Restaurant, and when they arrived, they found exactly five guys involved in the scuffle, and all five were promptly arrested. Can you guess how many guys were arrested at this location on Wednesday, according to the PD's Facebook post, with a picture of a police vehicle in front of the Five Guys facade? Police say the suspects included two adults and three juveniles. The cause of the fight is not yet known when the article was released. Five guys fighting at Five Guys?
Yeah. You eat the fries. I'm not eating this crap. You eat it. That's probably what it's about. Boy, that's some nasty stuff.
You don't like Five Guys?
I don't like their fries. I don't like the fries in a paper bag.
I've not been there in a long time, but
I first time I saw it, I thought, what are you doing? Why? I didn't know. And they just start dumping the shit in a paper bag. And I said, well, keep them then, jerk.
Florida man tied up wife's lover, cut off his penis and ran off with it, according to the deputies.
I hate when that happens.
Florida man is accused of exacting a gruesome revenge on a man he allegedly caught having sex with his wife. The Gilchrist County Sheriff's Office say a neighbor told police that Alex Benila, age 49, broke into his home in Bell, which is west of Gainesville. And Florida Gators. I can't stand those guys. Congress. On Sunday morning when his two children were present, forced him into a bedroom at gunpoint, tied him up, and cut his penis off with a pair of scissors. According to court documents, Benila then ran away with the severed penis. An arrest affidavit states that Benila caught the victim having sex with his wife back in May. Benila was charged with felonies included aggravated assault, aggravated battery, and false imprisonment, as well as two counts of cruelty to a child. Bail has been set at $1.25 million. The victim remains
Not enough.
The victim remains hospitalized, but it's not clear what happened to the wiener. This man is in Japan. Well, that goes on to something else, but... yeah, man. I wonder if they're at least sharpened scissors.
I want my wiener back.
Ow!
I'm upset. I'm bleeding. Where's my wiener? That's what I'd be going through. Every second, hitting that button for the nurses. Have you found my wiener yet? Wow. I'm scared right now.
Who was the guy back in the was it Bobbitt? Was he the one that got his yeah, wiener cut off?
Too funny that was his name, okay? John Bobbitt?
John Bobbitt, yeah. Maybe he lived in Florida. I don't know who that was.
he's a mess all by himself.
Dunkin' Donuts manager allegedly hired fake employee and then pocketed the paychecks.
Good for her.
Florida Dunkin' Donuts manager was busted for hiring a fictitious employee and pocketing all of the checks that the worker received, according to the news reports. Markia Nelson, age 29, who works at the franchise's location in Largo, which is a city in Pinellas County, hired the fake worker on May 15th. From May 16th straight through Saturday, Nelson did all she could to keep up the image that the employee was showing up for work every day, clocking in and out for the worker, logging a total of 235 hours, according to the arrest report.
She's a good worker.
I'd say so. The employee earned $8.65 an hour for a total of $1,610.84. Nelson direct deposited all of the funds into her personal account, admitting that she used the dough for life expenses. The company that owns the location was tipped off to the scam and launched its own internal investigation. Once the word reached the Pinellas Park Police Department, it was a relatively open and shut case. Nelson was then arrested on Monday. The employee never showed up to do any work, and then when they researched the employee's clock in and out times, they saw that it was the manager that was putting in the timesheets every time. Nelson so far has only been charged with one count of grand theft, but could face multiple other charges.
Well, there you go. There's some holes in that story. I'm not really how she got the check, how she cashed the check. This was a direct deposit.
I said it was direct deposit into her account.
Oh, I thought it just said she directly deposited. She deposited directly into her. I don't know, but it still seems like. I think there's somebody else involved. I think that friend wasn't as innocent as they're probably saying.
Could be. Out of Vero Beach, California. Or I'm sorry, Florida. Florida. We're not talking about California.
Yet.
A man arrested on suspicion of DUI in Florida had a creative, if ineffective, defense. On June 27th, 69-year-old Earl Stevens told officers he hadn't been drinking and driving. He'd only been drinking at the stop signs.
No.
Police received a 911 call after a McDonald's drive-thru customer in Vero Beach complained that a driver behind her was repeatedly bumping her car. Indian River County Sheriff's deputies found Stevens still behind the wheel with an open bottle of booze stuffed in a paper bag in the seat next to him.
At least he was hiding it. I don't have any alcohol here, just a paper bag.
Deputy said Stevens smelled of alcohol and told him he was feeling pretty good about himself. Stevens, who said he had never obtained a Florida's driver's license, allegedly told deputies that he'd only sipped his Jim Beam at the stop signs. According to the arrest affidavit, he further explained that he was not drinking while the car was in motion, and he only stopped for stop signs and traffic signals. Stevens then told officers that he had been busted twice for driving under the influence in Missouri, according to the paper, and he was booked in on charges of DUI and driving without a license. How mindful that he's at least stopping before he drinks.
Well, if he got busted for not having a license, so he didn't obtain a Florida license, not because he had a Missouri license, but because he didn't have a license.
Probably too drunk to make his way to the BMV, I guess.
Sir, how you feeling? Pretty good. That's too funny. Don't mind my friend here, the paper bag.
Last Florida story. Maybe this could be part of the world's dumbest criminals. I mean, pretty much all of our stories in Florida seem to be that way, but this one kind of takes the cake for me this week.
Actually, how many criminals have you arrested that you thought, you know, that was pretty smart?
None. Police catch would-be carjacker because he couldn't drive a stick shift car that he attempted to steal.
You know, I don't think a lot of kids can anymore.
I don't think they can either. Out of Orlando, an elderly Florida man nearly had his car stolen on Tuesday when another man tried to take it from an auto shop. Raymond Lipinski said he was trying to put his walker in the trunk of his car when a 25-year-old Jalen Alexander attempted to carjack him. Alexander jumps in the car's driver's side seat, closed the door, locked it, and attempted to drive away. Special emphasis on the word attempts there, as Lipinski said he believes Alexander was not successful in driving away because his car has a manual transmission. It was very apparent that he was not able to drive a stick shift as he kept stalling the car. Starting it. He got nowhere. Alexander eventually gave up and went out to steal another car from a nearby doctor's office. Short police pursuit later, he was caught and arrested. Alexander is now facing charges for carjacking, battery on a victim over the age of 65, grand theft, and fleeing the police.
Oh, did he hurt the guy too, or did he just
try? It doesn't say that he did, but it said battery, so maybe he could have pushed him aside or something.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
That guy must have been kind of scared.
I would have liked to see the video of that guy getting in there and then not being able to go.
That would be fun.
Good stuff.
Was that Rust Hussey? Who is the older guy again?
I'd have to go back and look.
Okay.
Lipinski, I think, was his last name.
Oh, it wasn't. I thought you said Rust Hussey.
No.
Oh, okay.
He does have a walker, though.
Yes, he does. That's what made me think of it.
All right, folks, that's the news for this week in Florida. We're going to end things this week with our political segment. Stay tuned. All right, guys, welcome to This Week in Political Garbage. Is there anything else in politics besides garbage?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
a couple different topics we're going to touch on this week. First one, Joe, Bernie Sanders' campaign announces it will cut hours to pay staffers $15 an hour minimum wage, which then prompts some mockery.
Well, yeah.
Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders announced this weekend he will cut staffers' hours so they can effectively be paid the $15 an hour minimum wage, prompting mockery from critics who say the move is more evidence that Sanders plans to raise the national minimum wage is hypocritical and it would only lead to less work and more unemployment.
No shit.
The Washington Post first reported last Thursday that Sanders field staffers were upset that Sanders championed a $15 minimum an hour minimum wage on the campaign trail. And he made headlines for rallying against major corporations who pay starvation wages, even as his own employees made poverty wages.
In response, which might have been $12 an hour. We don't know what it doesn't say, but it is ironic that he'd be pushing everyone to do this, and he doesn't practice that at all.
So the self-described socialist candidate, because socialism works.
Yeah, it always has.
Junior field organizers earn roughly $36,000 a year in salary with employee-paid health care and sick leave. He did acknowledge that their salary can effectively dip below $15 an hour if staffers work more than 40 hours per week, which is common on presidential campaigns. The solution is to limit the number of hours staffers work to 42 to 43 hours a week to ensure they're making the equivalent of $15 an hour. So the harder you work, the less you make.
I think that's illegal. That's, you can't do that. You can't pay somebody less because they worked over 40 hours. And that is the point. The point that $15 an hour isn't going to work, because that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to cut your staff. You're going to cut the workload. You're going to cut hours. It's not going to work. And then everything's going to raise. If I have to, and I pay pretty well at the bakery, but if I have to pay everybody, I'm going off on a little tangent, aren't I?
You're fine. You would understand the concept more than I do, because you do payroll.
So. If I have to pay everybody $15 an hour and I'm selling donuts at 69 cents a donut, let's say, what am I going to have to charge now? I'm going to have to charge a dollar for it. Okay, now everyone's met. Well, why are you charging so much for them now? Well, I have to pay everybody. And it's not just the wage. I saw somebody on Facebook, I pay $15 an hour to everybody, but it was somebody that pays them cash. They're not paying half the FICA. 7.65% of your check comes out for FICA tax, which is Social Security that you're not going to see anyway because our politicians are spending it all. I'll see it. You might see it, but it's pretty iffy. You guys in your 20s, good luck.
Yeah.
7.65% comes out right off the top of your check. Okay, then I, as an employer, have to match that out of my pocket. I take that same amount that you paid and I put that in there. Now we're taking that off $15 an hour, and then you have all your other taxes that come out and everything. It's everything will have to go up. Everything will go up. These jobs are meant when you're getting, and I don't pay minimum wage. I never pay minimum wage, but I know people that do, and that's fine. They're getting paid for the job that they're doing. If they don't like it, there's other jobs. There's a million other jobs out there right now. But if you jack that around too much by more than doubling it, I'm not saying it shouldn't go up.
Right.
But not doubling it, it's going to throw everything off. That double cheeseburger that you're getting for $1.25 is going to be $2, let's say. Let's say $1.89. Everyone's mad about that. It's very relative. All of a sudden, rent payments go up. All of a sudden, utilities are, everything, food's going to go up, because you go to Walmart, and they don't pay bad wages either, actually. But you go there and you expect to get things a little cheaper, you're going to have to pay more for them. It's a big cycle. It'll start all over. In 3 years, you'll be saying, "Oh, we need to make $20 an hour." All the people that are making $15, $16 an hour, I have people that are making that much. Okay, so all of a sudden I'm paying everybody $15 an hour. Is that fair for my manager, who takes care of everything over there, to make the same amount as somebody I just hired? No, of course I'm going to have to pay her $20 an hour. Well, shit, where does it stop?
I don't know why this is such a hard concept for people to understand. I'm all for people making money that they earn and they deserve.
Right.
Okay. But, I mean, even the nonpartisan CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, has come out and said that a proposed $15 an hour federal minimum wage would result in the loss of up to 3.7 million people losing their jobs in this country. The reason for that is the uncertainty of the impact of the minimum wage, which is different from state to state. There is a federal minimum wage as well, but they're indicating that up to 17 million Americans could see this pay increase with the federal minimum wage thing, which would then in turn lose an additional 4 million people losing jobs, because business owners such as yourself can't afford that.
Your prices are based on what we're paying out.
Raise your prices. And when you raise your prices, you're going to lose some customers, because of all of a sudden that, you know, $7 box of donuts is now $8, or maybe my $6 cup of coffee is now $7. And then as a, you know, working middle class person, which was what most of this country is made up out of, you've got to sit down and look at your budget and think, man, is it really worth it for me to get a cup of coffee at my local coffee shop every day before I go to work? Or should I just stay at home and make it myself?
Yeah.
Or And he, I mean, he's even admitted he's a socialist. He's a self-proclaimed socialist. That has never worked in any country ever in the history of the universe, ever. And people love this guy because free shit for everybody. Bernie loves free.
Unless he's paying people.
Oh my, yeah. And if you work hard for me, I'm going to lower your wage.
Over 40 hours, you get nothing.
I'm a Democrat. We don't like hard work. Sorry. Yeah. Come on, please don't vote for that guy.
And these people say, well, it's not a livable wage. I don't think it's meant to be a livable wage. It's something, it's an extra wage, it's extra money. It's something, it's a stepping stone to get onto something else.
And that's what kills me about the people that fight and fight and fight and bitch and moan about, you know, the livable wage thing. Okay, I get it. But if you want a legitimate, livable salary, you need to better yourself as a human being. Whether that means you're going to get a college degree, whether that means you're going to some type of trade school, whether that means you go to some sort of, you know, any type of training that you become certified in something.
Right.
To where you become an expert in your field and you can make, you know, you can support yourself, you can support your family. I'm sorry, but working at McDonald's, that's not meant to be a lifelong career.
Right,
that's
unless not, you go into management or something like that.
Right, but the people that are, you know, microwaving the burgers and mopping the floors and stuff, not that there's anything wrong with that job.
No, absolutely not.
But don't complain, say, you know, I want 15, 20 bucks an hour to do this, when we have, you know, people that are out there saving lives and teaching children, barely making that, if some places are not even making that.
Right.
And you expect to be on par as the same salary as them. That's asinine to me.
There's factories that are hiring. There's, you know.
And the factory workers, a lot of them work their butts off.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh,
they really
I
do.
Couldn't.
And they don't make 15 bucks an hour in some
And
places.
I'll be honest with you, I couldn't work at McDonald's. I think those guys work their asses off too. So I'm saying this right. is where you start.
And all the bitching and moaning when customers come in there, like myself, something gets screwed up, you know what I mean? I mean, I get frustrated, but.
I pray for all fast food workers. You guys go through hell. You really do. So we're not minimizing that.
No, not at all. It's just the concept of we should be on par with a teacher or, you know, anybody that's gone through some type of training or a secondary education.
Well, and my really dad hard. Used to say, my dad didn't have an education. He dropped out of high school and mm-hmm. stuff. But he made up for it by working longer right. hours. I don't make a ton at the bakery. You know, people think, oh, you make a lot of money at the bakery. I work a lot of hours at the bakery. I work a lot of hours at the bakery, and that's why I can pay people a little bit more and stuff, because I've been there long enough, my bakery's paid for now. But if you saw my percentages for payroll and stuff, you'd crap. If there's standards where you should be percentage wise off gross, I'm way over that, and I can't imagine having to go up to.
I mean, that seems to be the concept that a lot of the people that are crying for this minimum wage to be raised so high, they don't seem to understand the concept of that money has to come from somewhere. It's going to come from somewhere in somebody's budget. It's not like you can just go print off, well, I guess you legally can, but you can't print off your own money just to make up the difference.
That's what Bernie wants, isn't it?
Yeah. He probably already has.
Pay for everything.
And can you just see Bernie on a $20 bill when he becomes president? I mean, he's old enough to have his own currency, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on from that.
That wasn't even our main story.
That wasn't even our main story.
But I got off on that. All right. Sorry about that.
California, Joe, California.
California. You know what? There's one state that I would consider worse than Florida.
California.
Yeah.
I don't dislike Florida. The news stories just come to us from there every week.
You know what? And thank you for that, by the way, because a lot of people send us those stories. And they're great. And it's nice to not have to do any homework ourselves. When I say ourselves, I mean Lee.
Because he's putting in too many damn hours at the bakery.
Yes.
He'll text me in the middle of the night. Hey, I was thinking about this.
Oh, hell, he was awake.
Unfortunately,
anyway.
Sometimes I'm awake in the middle of the night. So. All right, Joe. Out of Berkeley, California, California city to ban gender neutral language like manhole and manpower. Soon there will be no more manholes in the city of Berkeley, California. There will also be no chairman, no manpower, no policemen or policewomen. That doesn't mean that the city will be without committee leaders and law enforcement. It means that words that imply a gender preference will be removed from the city's codes and replaced with gender-neutral terms, according to a recently adopted ordinance. The city voted Tuesday night to replace gendered terms in its municipal codes, such as manhole and manpower, with gender-neutral ones such as maintenance hole and human effort. The item passed without discussion or comments and was not controversial, according to the Berkeley City Council member Rigel Robinson, who authored this nonsense. There's power in the language, Robinson said. This is a small move, but it matters.
You know, I can. You know why there is no discussion? Everyone was speechless. They're going, what? What? How big is Berkeley?
I don't. I would have to look. I'm not sure how big Berkeley is.
I'll bet it's bigger than Peru.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, they had nothing more important to discuss, and that's why everyone was speechless.
I think we should get rid of the name manhole because it shows a gender preference.
Yeah, they're over 100,000 in population.
100,000 people in this city. And this is what they talked about. Now, I was very fortunate today because we jacked this thing up so badly yesterday. We're redoing it. So very infrequently do I know what we're going to talk about before it comes up. Usually I'm just as surprised as you are when you hear it. So for this, I thought of some other things that Berkeley really needs to consider. Manual. That needs to stop.
Yeah, that's not good. No good.
Manifesto.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Man, oh man. Mm-mm. Manicure.
Ooh, I bet those are big in Berkeley too.
I bet they are, but they shouldn't be said like that. Manufacture. Man whore. Oh, that was just funny. I just had to bring that one up. Let's see. Manager, manipulation, and maniac. It's mean instead of man, but still. Hopefully they're listening.
So I'm kind of going through some information here about Berkeley, and I didn't look this up before the show started because, again, part due. They are historically
stupid,
leading the country in homelessness. Not that that's funny, but they've got a serious problem here since it looks like the 1930s with lack of housing for their people. And
so this is pretty good that this is what they're talking
so
about.
So they're concerned
then, right?
About
manholes. The name of a manhole, but they have a leading. They're leading the nation in homelessness, or up near the top.
So Berkeley is where. No secret, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan, so I despise with every fiber of my being the USC Trojans. That's where they're at.
Well,
in
Florida and Madison and every place else, but.
I I've never been to California. I have zero desire to ever go there.
Now, I was stationed out there for a year.
Were you?
It's beautiful out there. Just don't talk to anybody.
Yeah. It's not that I don't think that California. I mean, I've seen pictures and videos. It looks like a beautiful place, but just the way people think there is, or don't think.
Yes.
Anyway, it goes on to state that, words like he and she will be replaced with they. So I guess manicure would be they a cure, and man whore will be they whore, and
they eufacture, and that's they're so stupid.
Screw the homeless people.
They're so stupid.
We got language to worry about here. Wow. I don't know. Yeah.
What? I wonder what their other problem. You know, you should have. Yeah, I say you. Lee, you should do more work on this. If we could have had a top 10 list of all the problems that are in Berkeley and see where a manhole fit in all of this. How effing stupid.
Yeah, well.
Thank you, Berkeley, California, and thank you, Florida, for making Indiana people seem much, much smarter. We appreciate that.
Well, that's the most asinine headline I've seen in a long time, that's for sure. So, all right, well, Joe, you got anything else to touch on in this week's show before we call it a day again?
Hopefully this part was better than yesterday. I don't remember half of yesterday, and that's kind of why we redid this, because I saw the teaser, and I said, what tractor? I don't remember that.
I think we were kind of not on autopilot. I don't know. You know, Joe and I, we did the live show last week.
Oh, that was awful.
And
it's so bad.
We were so out of our element with that. And just the chaos of people coming in and out and my kids running around being annoying and and our wives in there telling us everything that we're doing wrong.
They had a lot of pointers for us. And they're absolutely right. We do a lot of things wrong. But, you know, damn it, it's our show and we can do it all wrong if we want to.
That's right. Professional screw-ups at this point. Professional screw-ups.
That's right. Once you're good at something.
Yeah. We're over 20 episodes in now. 21, 22, something like that.
Oh, and I didn't mean we're good at this. I meant we're good at screwing things up.
That's what I mean. We've been getting better and better at screwing this up every week. So. All right, guys. We're going to get out of here. Appreciate you watching along and listening along. If you're following the podcast, make sure you follow us again on YouTube. We are going to look into... I was going to tell Joe this before the show. I was thinking about maybe... setting up an online voicemail account where people can call in with questions and maybe make that as part of our show in the future.
Oh.
I thought that might be a neat way to get people to interact with us a little bit more. So,
all right.
Just stay tuned for that. If I can get that figured out and set up, we'll post that on all of our social media pages. And
we would have to be live then?
No, they would be able to call in and leave voicemails to an online voicemail number. And, we could be able to play those during our shows and answer questions during the shows.
Oh, and that way if they tell us what they're really thinking, we don't have to play.
That's right. We don't have to listen to you. If you don't like our response, too bad. Too bad.
So that means your mom will call.
Yeah.
And
that's about it.
Well, that'll be it. Thanks, Marcia.
I guess she can just call my phone number. Yeah. All right. So that's just something else new we're thinking about of.
We have other plans. We got to do them. We just haven't had time.
It's been a busy summer. We do have some ideas in our back pocket.
We have some great ideas.
So we're going to try and get some stuff rolling here within the next couple of weeks for sure. So thanks for watching along, listening along, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you later. It's mornings in the kitchen with the dough and flour.